From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to today feature, I always look forward to this, the five finalists from the annual Diocesan Speech Contest for 7th and 8th graders throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. We have some great students and their coaches, teachers and coaches with us as well. They were asked, this was the prompt, if you will, at World Youth Day in 2016, Pope Francis stated, "Life nowadays tells us that it is much easier to concentrate on what divides us, what keeps us apart. People try to make us believe that being closed in on ourselves is the best way to keep safe from harm. Today, we adults need you to teach us, as you are doing today, how to live in diversity, in dialogue, to experience multiculturalism, not as a threat, but an opportunity. You are an opportunity for the future." Those are the words of Pope Francis, July 30th, 2016, at World Youth Day in Krakow in Poland. And the students were asked to prepare and speak on how this quote from Pope Francis connects with the first principle of our Catholic social teachings, life and dignity of the human person. That's a tough assignment. I'm glad they had to do it, and I didn't. But we had five winners. All of them delivered these speeches, and we used to have this in studio, and every one of them, they weren't reading these speeches. They were doing them from memory. Gabe, you remember, it was just unbelievable. We're shaking our heads like, this is unbelievable. We gave them a phone book to memorize, too, and they did that, too. So it's really, really remarkable. So these are among the best and the brightest in our wonderful Catholic schools. And we're pleased first to go to St. James School in Davis. And a coach and a teacher is Charlotte Strutzel. Charlotte, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob.
Good to have you with us. My two oldest children are alums of St. James Elementary. So,
wonderful school. I can fully understand why schools would send their children there.
Yeah, and when I grew up in Davis, we didn't have St. James Elementary. So we had St. James Church, but we did not have St. James Elementary. So tell us first, Charlotte, just tell us about the contest and the prep for it.
Well, the prep is pretty intensive. The kids get prompts, and then they prepare speech. We have a number of faculty and volunteers who will edit and coach along with myself. They work pretty closely with the adults here at St. James who are helping and come up with a speech that is something that, in their own words, we try as adults not to put our voice on their words, more allowing the students to use what their experiences are, because this is, after all, a junior high speech contest.
So I presume at some point, I mean, it's an essay first. Is that right? Or is there a difference between writing an essay and writing something for a speech?
There's a difference between a speech and an essay, but it does start in essay form and then morph as the student gets closer to the speech delivery into an actual speech.
And there are some kids that are very good at writing. And maybe, for want of a better word, to get stage fright. I know when I was that age, I couldn't get up in front of a class or a group of adults to save my life.
Well, very true. But one of the things that is a benefit of Catholic education, our students start reading at Mass or in front of their peers as early as the kindergarten. And so they're used standing up in front of a group of people, And I say that for St. James, and my assumption is it's the same with the schools throughout the diocese. Our students are fully participatory in our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this includes reading at Mass and performing in pageant plays and things like that. So for all that there is an element of stage fright, our kids are pretty well prepared through their the educational process at the Catholic school to kind of overcome the speech fright issue.
So, Charlotte, tell us, was this completely extracurricular activity?
Completely extracurricular. The students, we have two students, as do all of the schools in the diocese, and the students did all of this work in addition to their rigorous school day. And so they put in extra hours, they put in extra time, completely outside of school.
Very good. And when did the contest actually take place?
November 19th, I believe, was the Thursday was the virtual contest. And the students, there's eight weeks, I think, that they have participated.
And did the winners move on to the finals at Disneyland or somewhere?
That would be fabulous, but no.
Yeah, too bad. How much different was it this year in that it was all virtual?
I think the delivery was different, but I don't think the preparation was any different.
Mm-hmm.
They worked very, very hard this year. They worked very, very hard last year. And so I think that with the exception of the actual speech contest itself on the 19th, it was pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. And how was it delivered on the 19th? Via Zoom or something like that?
Correct. It was Zoom. The students were given a time to be ready, and the students would enter the waiting room for Zoom at a specified time, and then they were let in when it was their time to speak. So in that respect, it was difficult because they were unable to speak in front of an audience and to kind of gauge responses based on audience feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how we operate now.
Yeah, and who knows, it may be how we operate for a while yet. And it's a whole different skill set. I know the few times I've had to do public speaking that, you know, that audience reaction, whether you're telling a joke or you're making a point and people are nodding or people are laughing or people are getting up and walking out of the room, audience reaction is important to a speaker.
Exactly, and that feedback, you know, when you have something that is going to elicit a smile or a joke, mm-hmm. and there's just it's just flat. It's
yeah. Yeah. No, I've noticed that with some of the late night talk hosts. For a while, they were just off the air. They couldn't do it without an audience to laugh at their jokes,
right.
And then I watched some of the clips of some of it just for trying to see how did this work. And I could tell, even with the most accomplished famous names, they were doing their monologues from their living room, and their first joke, nobody laughed. And you could see a different energy level among them. There was no momentum building in their monologue. It's very, very strange to see. So tell us about our fourth place finisher here from St. James School.
Well, Miles is an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier that the speech contest represents, you know, some of the best and brightest in our diocese, and that is Miles to a T. He is one of the hardest kids, and just genuine, all-around nice kid.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Is Miles there to join
Miles
us?
Yes. Yep. Ready to go.
Hello, Miles.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very, very good. Did you participate in the contest last year?
Yes, I participated in seventh grade.
So how was it different for you this year?
like Charlotte said, like, you have a lot of experience here. You have a lot of experience speaking in front of people. It's a lot different in front of a computer screen. You don't really get the crowd reaction.
And could you even see the judges?
Yeah, you could.
Did you look at them?
Yeah, it wasn't the same experience.
Yeah. So was it more difficult or was it easier?
I think it's actually easier for me.
Uh-huh.
Not speaking in front of like 200 people in a gymnasium is a lot easier than just in front of a screen.
Yeah. Because last year you had judges, parents, things like that.
Yeah.
So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Have you picked out a high school yet?
No, not yet. Still deciding. I'm in eighth grade. I'm the student body president. I like to play sports, and I enjoy learning at a Catholic school.
Very good. Very good. Well, and you live in Davis?
No, I live in Winters.
Are you part of the famous Mariani family?
I wouldn't call it famous, but yeah.
From the Mariani Nuts?
What?
The ones that raise all the nuts?
Yeah, in Winters.
Yep. I saw that name and I said, that's a Winters name. Well, that's great. Well, would you like to share your essay with us, please?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, go ahead.
At World Youth Day in 2016, Pope Francis stated, life nowadays tells us that it is much easier to concentrate on what divides us, what keeps us apart. Many people try to make us believe that being closed in on oneself is the best way to keep safe from harm. Today, we adults need you to teach us, as you are doing, how to live in diversity, in dialogue, and how to experience multiculturalism, not as a threat, but as an opportunity. You are the opportunity to the future. I was asked to reflect upon how this quote connects to the life and dignity of the human person. I think that the quote from Pope Francis and the first Catholic social teaching relate because they both talk about how all things are worthy of respect, no matter their race, sex, religion, or where they come from. I'm growing up in a walnut farming family, and I believe the human life and the life of a walnut tree are similar. If a walnut tree doesn't branch out and only uses its internal resources, it will lack nutrients and eventually stop producing the crop. The trees reach to the sun, benefit from the rain, and are nourished by the human hand. By learning and relying on other resources, they can thrive and grow into beautiful trees. Similar to trees, humans need to branch out and reach all around them. We learn from our parents, friends, teachers, and others in our inner circle of support. Most importantly, we need to learn from the entire world around us. As humans, we have to look beyond what is comfortable and known. We need to learn from those who look different than us, believe different from us, and are growing up different than us. Every human has attributes that can impact each other. Human life is precious, more important than things, and the health of our society is measured by respecting the life and dignity of all. In conclusion, I think we need to reach out and learn from those that we admire and are in our inner circle of support. More importantly, we need to reach across the aisle, learn from those who are different from us, and hear other sides of the story. Working together and learning from others, like the walnut tree, we have to reach out and help our neighbors. Human life is precious and is the most respected thing. Thank you for your time.
Wow. That's very, very good, Miles. That's how'd I know you'd get nuts into the story? That's great. That is very, very nicely done. Congratulations. And we'll look for great things from you in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Miles. Charlotte, thanks so much for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it. And thank Miles again for us.
I will do so. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care and God bless. Yeah,
God bless.
Yeah, that's Miles Mariani from St. James School in Davis, although he's a resident of nearby Winters, also in Yolo County, just 10, 12 miles west of Davis. And so he has to commute every day to school. And their great teacher, Charlotte Strutzel. The again, the prompt for this, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll take a quick break first as we line up our next guest, who will be the third place. There was a tie for third place. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back to you right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for that wonderful introduction, and thank you and congratulations on 40 years as a bishop, starting in the Diocese of Salt Lake City and then coming to the Diocese of Sacramento, and greatly appreciate all he has done and continues to do for our great Catholic Church here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we are talking about the great annual diocesan speech contest for 7th and 8th graders, and we move now to our third place winner, who was a tie for third place between Jack Frings of Holy Rose Holy Trinity School in El Dorado Hills and also Emma Thompson from St. Rose School. But Jack is with us now. His coaches are Julie Moniz and Julie Shelnut. Jack, good day to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Jack, get a little closer to the phone if you can.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. There you go. Jack, tell us a little bit about yourself. Seventh or eighth grade?
I'm in seventh grade.
Very good. At do you live in El Dorado Hills as well?
Yes, I live in El Dorado.
Very good. And that school is so beautiful. You're up on a hill. You can see everywhere.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. It's a really nice campus.
Yeah, it's a very, very nice campus. Do you ride your bike up that hill?
No, I'm not close enough to ride my bike.
Okay. The times I've been up there with my kids, they go, boy, that would be a nice hill to ride your bike down, but not up. So, Jack, you tell us just a little bit about yourself. What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject is English in mm-hmm. school. I've always liked writing and getting to read other people's stories.
I bet that helped you in preparing your speech.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, Jackie, are you ready to give us your speech?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was a little boy, I always wanted to visit the big city, New York. I've wanted to bike down the huge, glamorous streets, to hear Broadway, to taste the pizza. But most of all, I've wanted to visit the Statue of Liberty. On that statue, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." That's where our country started, right? A country where everyone has an opportunity, right? Well, sometimes racial injustice floods our society. And as the next generation, we need to gather dedication from everyone, no matter age or race, and ending of judgment on others based on looks and stereotypes, in cooperation with peace instead of violence. Now, many of us may think that we can't help, since we're too young, not influential, or not wealthy. However, treasure is only one of our three T's of our nation. Time and talent can also be used to help others. How do we respond when we see discrimination in our communities? Do we lead by example, or are we silent? Anyone can help if they just look a little bit closer at their everyday lives. Dedicating our time, talent, and treasure are only part of the solution, however. To truly bring about change, we must see that at our core, we are the same. Imagine if you saw a relative on the street, poor and starved. Wouldn't you help them without even thinking about it? We must look upon everyone as family, regardless of culture. Finally, our objection to racial judgment should be like Martin Luther King Jr.'s and Gandhi's example. Instead of assaulting the wrong, they spoke out and influenced laws to prevent equality over segregation. Similarly, today, we are encouraged by Pope Francis to come together in diversity. Anger and fear can as quickly consume us as love and joy. So let's strive to contain the negative and embrace the positive. Remember how I wanted to visit the Statue of Liberty? The truth is, I didn't want to visit that statue because of the exterior, but to go inside, climb to the top, and see the horizon, which is a thousand times more beautiful than the actual statue. We must learn to see each other, not by our exteriors, but through our hearts' horizons.
Jack, that was beautiful. That was beautiful, and you really got my attention real early talking about all the attractions in New York City and all that. And you're right, the Statue of Liberty and the horizon there, it is indeed beautiful. Thanks for all that, and best wishes to you, and God bless you and everyone at your school. Greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us. That's Jack Frings from Holy Trinity School in El Dorado Hills. And one of his coaches was Julie Moniz. Julie, good day to you.
Hi, how
wow.
are you?
Is he good?
Wow. I know, right? Isn't he fantastic?
Yeah. And I'm just so impressed. Seventh grade, like he's 12 years old.
I know. Honestly, I was blown away when I heard his speech for the first time. I'm teaching fourth grade this year at Holy Trinity, so it's kind of a different context for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last year was English, and we got to do this for the first time. So I'm very excited to be here again this year with a new student. So somebody covered my class so I could go watch the speeches as they presented, and he was just absolutely stunning. I love the time, talent, and treasure theme tied in with the Statue of Liberty. It was just so creative.
Yeah, that's
so,
very creative and very original.
Yes, very original. A very different take on it. Like, at the very beginning, I felt like he was going to take us on this journey, and I really was excited with how he wrapped it all up at the end. So the students did such a wonderful job with this topic, and it's so important today that we talk about these issues. So it was interesting to hear everybody's angle that they went with when they created their speech.
Yeah, it's pretty darn impressive. I'm glad, number one, that I wasn't a contestant, but number two, I'm especially glad I wasn't a judge.
Oh, I know. It must have been so difficult for them. When the top five presented their speeches on Zoom, we all were watching thinking, well, every one of them is fantastic. Every single one of them is a winner.
Yeah.
As are all of the children's speeches, because really it was, you know, it was difficult for them this year. And in some ways, the camera with Zoom was almost more intimidating than it is when we're all together in the different rooms in the gym. So I was so proud of how everybody stepped up to make this happen this year, yourselves included.
Yeah, you know, I've thought that myself, how different it would be. I tried to put myself back at that age and was pretty shy, and how difficult it would have been in front of an audience, but then maybe even triply difficult doing it just into a computer screen without being able to see an audience. So that's boy, my hat's off to those kids. They did a great job, and you coaching them, obviously. God bless you and your school and all the great kids there at Holy Trinity.
Well, thank you so much. And you know what, Bob? You made a very good point. I want to also give a shout-out to Emma Thompson. She was a student of ours at Holy Family last year and competed in the contest in the seventh grade. And this year at St. Rose, she competed and also tied with Jack for third. Her internet connection was very, very spotty on the day of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And in the final round, it took them three different attempts to even get the connection set up where she could deliver her speech. So, again, I'm just so proud of the way these students have stepped up in that environment, because, you know, you're already nervous.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your internet's not working, and now you're competing in the final round, and, you know, she was just flawless.
That is
so, yeah. Very, very, very proud of the kids this year.
Well, they did a great job, and we're going to talk to Emma next, so we're really excited about that. Julie, thanks for everything you do there, and we'll God bless all of you folks.
And God bless you as well. You have a wonderful rest of your show.
Thanks so much. That's
all right. Bye bye.
Julie Menez, who's one of the coaches there, and one of the other coaches is Julie Shelnut. Julie? Nope. Oh, my mistake. Hold on one second. We're talking with our winners, and that we are now okay. We've moved on. Excuse me. We've moved on to our the other person who was tied for third was Emma Thompson from St. Rose School. And her coach and the principal is Suzanne Smoley. And Suzanne joins us now by phone. Suzanne, good day to you.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome to you. You have that famous last name.
Oh, I do, and we're not related.
And you're not related.
Better.
does everybody ask you?
They often do, but it's lovely because she's a lovely person.
Yeah, indeed.
So.
Indeed. Well, thanks for joining us. You are both the coach and the principal.
Well, it was something where I asked my teachers if it was something they felt like they could take on, and they looked at me the way my teachers are looking at me right now in the midst of trying to do so many things, that I thought, you know, this is a great way for me to get to know the students in our school. So I took on the coaching.
Well, isn't it great, though, that this speech contest is always such a big deal? It would have been easy for people to say, well, during a pandemic, we can't get them all together. And I think usually it was at St. James in Davis, and we can't do that. Maybe we just forgo it for a year. But that's not the way our Catholic schools do things.
No, it worked great.
Yeah, that is. Tell us a little bit about Emma Thompson.
Well, actually, Emma, happily, is new to our school. She mm-hmm. came to us from Holy Family School that closed at the end of last year, and she had participated in the speech contest last year there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she actually asked about it, and I went to my email, and I saw that all the information was there, and I said, you know what, let's give everybody in eighth grade an opportunity to write about the topic. And they did, and she just did a fabulous job of bringing in life and dignity of the human person the Stations of the Cross and sharing the story about Samantha Smith during the Cold War. So,
wow.
She's quite a young lady, and I'm really pleased that she placed. I'm proud of her.
Emma tied for third. Is Emma with you now?
No, she actually has to be at home, so I think Gabe is going to get her on the phone separately from me.
Very good. So what's the toughest part about coaching these kids?
Well, a lot of it is narrowing down. You know, they did the writing, but narrowing down what they want to say and taking out the things that make writing really good, but speaking not necessarily, because you want to keep it at between 2 and 3 minutes. And so you learn what is, it's pertinent, but it's innocuous. And so narrowing down each paragraph and making sure that what you want to say and what you are saying means something to the topic and makes your point. So these girls worked really hard to narrow down their speeches and to say exactly what they wanted to say. And they had a real investment in that, too. I was proud of them.
Wow.
So for me, that was the hardest part. But they enjoyed giving the speech and memorizing the speech and then talking with their fellow classmates about it, too. So
very good. Well, Suzanne, thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for joining us, and God bless you and all your students there at St. Rose.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. That's Suzanne Smoley, and we'll now get to hear from Emma Thompson. Emma is at St. Rose School, and she was tied for third place with Jack Frings from Holy Trinity. Emma, how are you today? Doing very good. Are you 7th or 8th grade?
8th grade.
You're 8th grade. Have you picked a high school yet?
I will be going to Bella Vista High School.
Okay, very good. That's the Bella Vista Broncos. That's a great school.
Yeah.
Very good. What's your favorite subject in school?
I like math and science, and this year I've been a lot more interested in PE. We recently started art, so I'm excited for those too.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, what was the hardest part about delivering this speech and writing the speech?
I think everything about it kind of had their own pros and cons, because writing it, when I first did my first draft, I had these ideas. They just seemed to come like this wave of creativity, and I kept getting idea after idea. And then when it came time to deliver it, I had to make sure I had the right emotion. And when we first timed it, it was too long, so we had to rewrite some stuff, and that was also complicated.
Well, are you ready to deliver it for our audience?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
How many of you would say that it is easier to focus on our differences rather than similarities? Contrast over compare? At World Youth Day in 2016, Pope Francis brought this to our attention. He said, "Life nowadays tells it is much easier to concentrate on what divides us, what keeps us apart. People try to make us believe that being closed in on ourselves is the best way to keep us safe from harm." That quote was said over 4 years ago, yet it seems so relevant today. Why is that? Shouldn't it be fixed by now? The stripping of human rights has gone on far too long, whether you are being persecuted for how you look, speak, act, or how you take extreme advantage over your privilege. Think back to when Jesus was stripped of his garments. He went through all of that pain so we wouldn't have to. So what I'm gathering is, it didn't matter when God gave his only son to us just so we could be saved. It didn't matter that he selflessly and willingly gave his life and suffered the most a human could take, all so we wouldn't have to. We as a society shouldn't have to relive the Stations of the Cross. So why are we acting like it? Let's compare some of the stations to events happening in our world today. People are often condemned for their race, much like when Jesus was condemned to death. humans across the globe are being forced to carry a burden so heavy that they cannot go on, such as Jesus did when he was made to carry his cross. Humans today fall, like Jesus, because of how society strains them. And just like him, they know that it will not be the last. The big question is, how can today's youth show adults how to comprehend diversity and acceptance? There are many examples, however, one in particular sticks out to me. Samantha was 10 years old to help ease tensions between the U.S. and Russia during the Cold War. She wrote a letter to CPSU General Secretary Yuri proposing that both countries could coincide peacefully. At just 10 years old, this young girl showed many the definition of peace and harmony, that people of different backgrounds do not have to separate themselves, but rather come together to show the world the life and dignity of the human person. I'm not saying that tomorrow we're going to wake up and be perfect, but every step closer we take to a more amicable Earth is one step closer to a world where it is easier to focus on similarities rather than differences, to unite us rather than divide us, so to bring us joy and help us to feel comfortable sharing your opinion, and a place where it's possible to recognize Christ in each and every human being. Thank you.
Emma, that was beautiful. That's very, very moving, and I know you got a great future ahead of you. Good luck at Bella Vista next year, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Emma. That's Emma Thompson, who from St. Rose School. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lincoln, and thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We are talking to the winners of the annual speech contest, the diocesan-wide speech contest for 7th and 8th graders, so all from a prompt by Pope Francis speaking at World Youth Day on July 30th of 2016 when he was in Krakow in Poland, and we're now moving up to our second place winner, who is Morelia Saavedra. Her coach and teacher is Teresa Gutierrez from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton School. Teresa, good day to you.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
How bad did I pronounce the winner's name?
No, that was perfect.
Oh, good. One lucky guy today. I said my prayers. Well, thank you. And you coached both the winners and the first place. Give me a shot at this. Liu?
Liu, that's right.
I can't even guess. Emeru?
Emeru, that's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
you have some great names in your classroom.
Right.
Indeed. So tell us about Morelia.
So Morelia and Liu both are seventh graders. Mm-hmm. And what I love about them and their speeches is that it's a personal speech, and they refer to their family and their cultural heritage. And you can see how their culture is an important connection to their Catholic faith.
So how do you, I mean, this is a pretty deep topic that they were asked to comment on.
Right. And you know, you can see that it was very personal for them, but it hit so perfectly with what Pope Francis his message was, and that is that we adults do really learn from their experience on how to live and embrace multiculturalism. They come from very different cultures with somewhat of a different message, but you can see also the commonality.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I know just from my own kids, four of whom are right now teenagers, and they see the world, their brains aren't all cluttered up with the stuff that stop us sometimes.
Right.
You know, that they seem to be more forgiving, more accepting, more understanding of differences than a lot of us old set-in-the-way people are.
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons I love teaching middle school, because they still are very idealistic and believe in the goodness of people.
Right.
And you know, so as teachers, you walk away every day feeling hopeful, you know, that the next generation is going to surpass the one before, you know. So, you're right.
And Jesus told us to come as a child.
Right, exactly. Know?
So,
you know, I
think
and that's what makes, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's what makes our Pope so great is that, you know, he really does encourage the youth and pulls out from them the goodness that they have in order to combat, you know, a lot of the negativity or, you know, the pessimism in our life.
Yeah, and I think he recognizes better than most world leaders do that we are all, meaning all, made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
Even people we may disagree with, even people that we may consider to be enemies in a political sense or a worldwide sense, somebody you're even at war with, they are all made in the image and likeness of God.
Right. The value of the human person.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed. Well, tell us a little bit about the first place winner as well.
Right. Liu Emeru, again, very common or very similar to Morelia. She touches upon her cultural heritage and how important that was or that is in her life, and how it also does connect to her Catholic roots and the expression of her faith. Again, she's a seventh grader like Morelia. Her cultural heritage is from Africa.
Oh, wow.
Right. Her mother is from Zimbabwe, and her father is Ethiopian, where Morelia's parents are, it's a Mexican heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the richness of their speeches is tapping into that. And I think Pope Francis does emphasize the importance of knowing who you are and knowing your roots in order to, you know, value who you are and to see the diversity, you know, that God has brought to the world.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, you know, I've it's just always amazed me when people can believe that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and then they can discriminate against somebody because of where they're from or what their ethnicity is, and you go, how can you do that?
Right.
You know,
right.
How can you do that? We are all children of God. Well, Teresa, I can tell you took good care of these kids. You coached them well, and congratulations, first and second place both. That's quite an accomplishment, and I'm sure we're going to see them again next year.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, and thanks for this opportunity.
Well, God bless you and your family and all the great students there at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Okay.
That's Teresa Gutierrez, who is the coach and teacher of both our first and second place winners in the annual Diocesan Speech Contest, which was for 7th and 8th graders. And we will now speak with Morelia Saavedra, who is a 7th grader at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton School. Morelia, good day to you.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
How hard was it preparing your speech for this?
It wasn't that hard. Like, I just said what came into my mind when I was thinking about the topic.
When you first saw the topic, did you go, wow, there's a lot there?
Yeah.
But did your brain start working right away?
Not right away. It took, like, a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Did you start going in one direction and then decide to go in a different direction? I mean, a lot of different ways you could. In fact, we've talked to 3 of the winners already, and their essays or their speeches are remarkably different.
Yeah, I changed my mind a lot.
Yeah, but obviously what you ended up picking was successful. So are you ready to share your speech with us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. These are lines from a poem by Emily Dickinson. I love poetry and the arts. They creatively express universal truth. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Like you don't fit in? Chances are every single person has felt this way at least once in their life. Like anyone, I feel alone and isolated when I'm not accepted for who I am. Who am I? Who are you? We are children of God, valuable and important. Our human dignity is grounded in God and becomes visible through our actions. I am of Mexican ancestry, and the actions of my great-grandparents had far-reaching consequences. They were migrant farm workers. My great-grandfather, Jose, worked side-by-side with Cesar Chavez, and later peacefully marched with him and other Catholic leaders for the just wages of all farm workers. He later worked for Camp Belsouf with the same spirit and courage. I learned from him that work is the setting for living out values and relating to others, and that we all have talents to employ. Unfortunately, my great-grandpa Ruben passed away recently of COVID-19. His last words to me were to use my talents for good. Pope Francis wants the same. He encourages me to show others that multiculturalism is an opportunity, not a threat.
That's very, very, very moving. I'm sorry about it was your great-grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The ways that I engage in dialogue and diversity is by developing my talents in the arts. Painting, theater, a dance, or a short rhyme. St. Pope John Paul II believed that the aim of the arts leads us to universal truth. As a young man, he, a pope, wanted a career on stage. The arts show commonalities and experiences like pain, joy, anger, and determination. It's a way to understand one another and to heal and renew our souls. So I take my pen to paper and write, I am from white t-shirts and pointy boots, from Campbell Soup and Levi's jeans. I am from watermelon eating contests and brown eyes, from Ruben Labrado and Jose Mraz. I am from the avid readers and brave first responders, from the words always be yourself. I am from crucifixes and rosaries, the core of my faith, from Mexico and tamales and Native Americans and Maize, from memories of things long behind us. This is who I am. Who are you?
Wow. That's very moving, Marilia. And did your great-grandfather, for Campbell's Soup, did he work here in Sacramento? Yeah, I remember there was, I think it was on Alhambra Boulevard there was a big Campbell's Soup factory there. Yeah, and to know Cesar Chavez, one of the great Californians, just that's very, very fortunate. He was a very inspirational man and a very, very faithful Catholic as well. Yeah. Well, Marilia, thanks so much and congratulations, and God bless you and your family.
No problem. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. That's Marilia Saavedra, who is the second place finisher in the annual diocesan speech contest. She's a seventh grader at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton School. And now, Gabe, do we have a little drum beat, a little drum roll here for our first place winner, Liu Amaru? Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes.
I did. I get an A. Thank you. Your coach, Teresa Gutierrez, was telling us about your background. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my dad is Ethiopian, mm-hmm. and my mom is Zimbabwean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have family from Zimbabwe, and I have family from Ethiopia. And so, yeah.
Were they immigrants to this country, or was it back more generations than that?
Well, they were immigrants, and mm-hmm. they all, so my mom went to college in Minnesota,
uh-huh.
and my dad also went to college in Minnesota, and they met at St. Cloud in Minnesota.
Wow. My mom and dad went to school in Minnesota and met in Minnesota, so yeah, I guess Minnesota's a good place to meet somebody.
Yeah.
So they did not come to this country at the same time. They came from different parts of Africa and met in the great state of Minnesota. That's pretty cool. And then they somehow ended up in Sacramento?
So I was actually born in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And then we didn't really like the harsh winter, so we my parents decided to move to California.
They're pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Except Minnesota is a beautiful state, too. It is. But you should be proud to. You can still call yourself a Minnesotan and a Californian.
Yes.
That's great. So how long have you been in this area?
About 5 years.
Okay. So, and have you been at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton the whole time?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, tell us a little bit about your essay and your speech. I'm sorry. You start with an essay, sort of, and becomes a speech. There was a lot in what Pope Francis had to say. Did you go a bunch of different directions first?
Well, so I started with a little bit of, like, how Black Lives Matter and about diversity, and then I started off where I was born,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of talked a little bit about myself and how I grew up and my experiences.
Yeah. Well, and Minnesota, of course, was in the national news last May with the death of George Floyd. And
Yeah.
So I'm sure you folks that know Minnesota well, it was even more difficult for you than it was difficult for everybody, obviously. So are you ready to give us your speech?
Yes.
Go ahead. Here's our first place winner from the Diocesan Speech Contest.
Black lives matter. Do I matter? Scripture makes it clear that each and every person is made in the image and likeness of God. Because of these diverse cultural backgrounds, the Catholic Church lives up to its meaning as universal. I was born in Minnesota. Minnesota has beautiful green summers, and snowy white winters. I felt a sense of community there. And even though I've lived in California for 5 years, to this day, I can call Minnesota my home. On May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota, my hometown. It wasn't difficult for me to understand my dad's worried face upon reading the news. His eyes are always warm and inviting, but that day, his warm glow had faded and his eyes were stern. The truth is, George Floyd could have been my own father. My mother was born during the colonial era in Zimbabwe, then known as Rhodesia. Segregation was a painful reality for her. Their land was taken away, and they were sent to live in locations of a high-density population in poor living conditions. Disease was rampant, and healthcare was inaccessible. Pope Francis asks us to see that the injustices against people in Zimbabwe have everything to do with the injustices that occur here and around the world. He believes we, the youth, teach adults to live in diversity, in dialogue. I am a voice of diversity. I matter. In my educational experiences, I have been one of a handful of black girls. Most girls in my circle do not look like me, and they definitely do not have my hair. I didn't have dolls with black curly hair, read books that illustrated characters that looked like me. Once in a while, I would straighten my hair, and I loved how it looked. A few hours later, it would return to its normal curly state, and I went back to hating my hair. My differences, however, did not destroy my confidence nor my belief that I am a child of God and I am beautiful. My parents are devoted Catholics with a rich cultural heritage, and that is their gift to me. We celebrate St. Josephine Baquita, who was kidnapped and forced into slavery, but her legacy is that transformation is possible through suffering. My parents named me Liu, which in my dad's Ethiopian language means one of a kind. I am one of a kind in a multicultural world. Pope Francis's invitation to see multiculturalism, not as a threat, but as an opportunity, extends through me and my story to you, so that together today, we begin the dialogue that leads to the universal truth that we all matter.
Wow. Liu, I hope one day to meet you, and I hope to meet your parents. I'm sure they have many fascinating stories to tell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leo, and congratulations, and God bless you and your family and all the great students at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, too.
That's Leo Emeru, and wow, what a story. Yeah, you forget Zimbabwe used to be Rhodesia, you know,
right.
So much of colonialism and all throughout the continent of Africa, so... What a group of kids.
I wanted to acknowledge one thing. Getting this done was not easy with everyone. Had different phone numbers and different places they all were. So I wanted to make sure I gave a special acknowledgement to Lori Power, who is our associate superintendent and today junior producer of the Bishop's Hour, because had it not been for her getting all these phone numbers and these people, she worked very hard over the Thanksgiving weekend to get all the stuff lined up for this week.
Well, and usually, you know, we're all in this room.
We have
and frequently parents out in the hallway, and we get to meet all of them.
Right.
And that's always something really, really great and fun.
Yes.
A lot more difficult today, but boy, their message came through loud and clear.
Yeah, and it definitely gives you a good feeling for the future.
Yeah,
the kids, with all those kids, all five of those kids, and the coaches. But thank you, Lori. I know that she will be listening to the show, because she always, whenever she sets something up like this, she always goes back and listens to see how her kids did. Thank you again, Lori. This was never would have been possible without you.
Yeah, we're lucky to have Lori here in the diocese, and lucky to have all our great faculty, our teachers, our principals, the people who coach these kids, and the people that are so important, their parents who gave us those kids, and the good Lord gave us those kids as well. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love.